It is the, I hope and I think, last day of the KSFR fund drive, and we've got, I think, about $6,000 or $7,000 left to raise. We've been doing pretty well in getting to our $70,000 goal, and the number is 428-1393, 428-1393. To make a pledge to KSFR and to tell people how much you support, if you do support, the Radio Cafe and KSFR. But I'm guessing that if you're listening right now, you actually do like and support the station. And what we actually really need is for you to make a contribution. If you've never given before, just give us a call at 428-1393. You, not the person next to you, but actually you, and make a contribution of a few bucks or a few bucks a month. And let us get over our goal so that we can stay on the air for another little while. I have a personal goal for this hour of $1,000. That's about what we're making every hour. And so let's see if we can do it. We're going to sweeten the deal for you a little bit. But first, I would like to introduce the lovely ladies who are sitting at the table with me. Linda Monick is a dance historian, and she is going to be introducing a film tonight at the screen. It's called First Position. It's a documentary about a ballet dance competition. I saw it last night. It's unbelievable. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you.
And Diane Karp is with us, speaking of the arts.
And speaking of the arts, one of the things that is most important for all of you to remember out there in Radio Land is that you have a gift with KSFR, and a special gift with Mary Charlotte Domande. Mary Charlotte manages to bring to you, right into your living room or your car or your kitchen or your office, the most amazing people, the people from the arts, people from the world at large, from business, from politics. And she gets to ask them all of those questions that you would love to ask them, and then we all get the generous sort of gift of being able to listen to these people answer very smart questions with deeply thoughtful answers. And one of the things that I also want you to remember is there are studies that prove that being generous, being philanthropic, giving to support important activities makes you a happier, better person.
All
so
right.
If you want to improve the quality of your life, go to the phone, pick it up, dial 428-1393 and make a donation to this public supported radio station that will make you happy.
428-1393 is the number, and yes, give a call right now. And we're going to be talking about this film, First Position, which is this unbelievable ballet film, beautiful and very well done. And we're going to be giving away pairs of tickets. So for a modest contribution to KSFR or for a monthly contribution to KSFR, you can win a pair of tickets to tonight's performance where Linda Monick will be introducing it and talking about it. So, Linda, how did you get into dance? You were a dancer yourself and then you became a dance historian?
Yes, I grew up in California in Palm Desert, which was not exactly an epicenter of great ballet training, but then I was lucky enough to go to the University of California, Irvine, which had a conservatory dance department, and then I went to NYU for graduate school. And I danced with small companies, but I needed a job, and my first job, luckily, miraculously, was working for American Ballet Theater as the assistant to the director of the second company, which would become known as American Ballet Theatre II. They had a Rockefeller Foundation grant to run a choreographer's project, so I became the administrator of the Ballet Theatre Workshop for young choreographers. So that was sort of the beginning of my work with ballet companies and arts administration. And then after I left the Joffrey Ballet, I started teaching dance history and working as a teaching artist for both Lincoln Center Institute and New York City Ballet. So I was able to combine everything that I loved about dance in all of these jobs.
And so when we look at this film, First Position, that we're going to see, that people are going to see tonight, especially if they call in and get a pair of tickets by calling into the fund drive, it is about a dance competition for young people ages 9 to 19. And in this film, we see essentially prodigies.
Yeah.
And these children have, and it's very beautifully developed in the film, these children have not only a passion for dance, but an endurance, a tenacity, and an ability to endure competition. I was watching this film, sitting on my couch, feeling like a slug, going, I am not worthy.
Yeah. They, you know, it takes, it's a particular temperament that does well in the competitions. You know, the kids do have to have tenacity, they have to have nerves of steel, but the thing that I think the film shows most beautifully is you can be talented, but if you don't have training, it doesn't mean anything. You know, you must have teachers, supportive parents, the resources to pay for those $82 point shoes, the resources...
And you, which you go through every couple days.
Oh, yeah. We used to spend $900 every 6 weeks on our daughter's point shoes, you know. It takes a village to raise the dancer.
Yeah.
It takes a supportive, thoughtful village to raise a dancer who has the ability to then go into the field and have a sustained career.
That's right. And so much love goes into it. And not only do they need supportive parents and incredible training and enough money to do it and all of that, but also, and not only talent, but also the physical attributes. Like, there are people who have not quite the right body, and even with all those other things, they don't make it through these competitions.
No, but in the real world of ballet, there are people who did not have perfect bodies who had very successful careers. So that's kind of the contradiction, that you see the perfect bodies in the ballet competitions, and it's sort of geared toward, you know, perfect bodies, perfect feet. You know, you kind of wince when you see one of the kids' feet being stretched.
I know.
You know, you can't, you can only, and the stretching in general is an issue that many ballet teachers watching this may wince a little bit. Parents certainly will. Because if you overstretch a young body, you're kind of begging for hip injuries.
Ah, right.
But they're going for that extreme flexibility, that extreme line, because that's what they see on YouTube, that's what they're seeing at the principal level of many ballet companies. But whether or not that's good for a 12-year-old body, I don't know.
428-1393 is the number at the KSFR Fun Drive.
Stretch your hands.
Stretch your hands.
Get flexibility. Pick up the phone and support one of the most important public services in Santa Fe, one of those services that makes Santa Fe the extraordinary place that it is.
For only $35, you get a pair of tickets to this event tonight. And, I mean, I saw it on my... I really have one of those not very big televisions.
That's a good thing. That recommends you highly.
And it's also, I think, about 17 years old.
Even more.
It works, you know. It has little plugs that go into the wall. But seeing this on a big screen...
I can't wait.
...is really what it's about. And I think... For anybody who's interested, not only in dance, but in filmmaking, it is a beautifully made and beautifully edited film, and in competition. Now, one of the things that was fascinating about the film is it follows the lives of a couple of these dancers, and you wonder, I don't know if you know this, Linda, whether the filmmaker followed, like, 15 dancers? She just followed those ones.
The artistic director of the competition kind of selected the most appropriate kids for her to follow.
Okay.
As I understand it.
Thinking these kids probably have a good chance.
And they range in age from 9 to about 16 or 17, so you get kind of the full age range that exists within the competition. Although the youngest group is called pre-competitive, which I find kind of ironic, but...
Pre-competitive.
Yeah, that's what the younger group is called.
Yeah.
But she was selected, and I think that it's a really beautiful look at each individual child in their family.
Yeah. Well, one of these girls was from Sierra Leone and was there during the Civil War and was orphaned and saw the most horrible things that nobody should see, especially a child, was adopted by this just... If I may say, very kind, kind of white bread, middle class American people, and had this incredible gift. Had, like, they nobody wanted to adopt her because she had skin pigmentation, mm-hmm. dots or whatever that's called. And there she is, this beautiful human being and beautiful dancer.
Yeah, she's one of the extraordinary stories in this film, that it shows you, you know, kind of the magic, how she evidently, as a child in the camp, or in the orphanage, saw a picture of a dance magazine with a ballerina on it and kept this, and it's what she wanted to do.
Yeah, this she just saw the picture.
She just saw the picture, and that's what she wanted to do. And the thought that this child was able to accomplish her dream, coming from an orphanage in Sierra Leone, losing her parents in the Civil War, seeing horrific atrocities while in the orphanage, is one of the most compelling parts of the film to me.
428-1393. You can get a pair of tickets to this film. First Position, which is at the screen tonight. What time does it start?
7.
7 o'clock. And of the many things to do tonight, I would say that that's definitely in the top picks. And, of course, Diane Karp is here. We're going to be speaking of the arts. And there will be a lot of other things going on tonight. But that is worth doing, especially because if you call right now and make a contribution, you'll get a pair of tickets for the low, low price of $35. 428-1393. 428-1393. Now, you, Linda, have a daughter who was also kind of on that track to be a professional ballet dancer.
She was. She went to a fantastic, there are very few boarding schools in ballet. Now, you know, I worked in dance my whole life, so I was absolutely categorically unwilling to let our child sacrifice education to be a ballet dancer. So I would not let her do high school by correspondence. So we, luckily, she spent 2 summers at the Walnut Hills School in Massachusetts, which has a wonderful ballet program run by Michael Owen, who danced with ABT. So she was on that track. And, you know, was dancing 6-7 hours a day all through high school. Went to auditions and was applying to college at the same time. And she was kind of horrified by the whole audition process when you're 17 years old with a number on your chest and you're competing with 25-year-olds, 27-year-olds, very seasoned professional dancers. It kind of horrified her. So she quit and took a scholarship to the University of Richmond.
And what happened then? Is she still dancing at all, or did she switch fields? Or
she switched. She's now working in L.A., and I think she loves dance, but she knew that she didn't have the steeliness that you need to have to be a professional. You really have to have a very thick skin to survive both the audition process and the actual, because let's not forget that the life of a dancer is really being in a studio 7 hours a day, learning repertory, learning ballets, and being given corrections 7 hours a day.
Right.
And then you perform, and then you get more corrections that are usually posted up on the board after the performance. So it's a life, criticism may be the wrong word, but certainly it is a life of being given corrections, reaching for perfection, and being given corrections every single minute of your working day.
And you are in some ways an artist, but you're really in some ways the sort of clay in the hand of another artist.
You are serving the choreography, if you will. You know, and that's an important process of collaborating, especially with a new choreographer. But really, if you were going to be like this little girl we know in Connecticut who's now in ABT, you know, she's had to learn Midsummer Night's Dream, Bayadere, Sleeping Beauty, The New Firebird. Her job is to learn that choreography and to perform it to the best of her ability. That's her job as a dancer.
Yeah.
Not a 2-minute solo where everybody hoots and claps and cheers. It's to be in these really great ballets.
Right. And then to retire. I mean, I think one of the things that's kind of tragic about ballet dance is that by the time you have achieved the emotional maturity to bring some of that maturity to certain roles, your career is pretty much over because your body can't sustain that training for that long. So there's often, I mean, the kind of maturity that virtually any other artist, performing artist, you know, musician or poet or anybody else has by the time they're in their late 30s, 40s, 50s and beyond. You can't bring that to ballet because you're not dancing anymore.
Well, I worked for the Metropolitan Opera for a while, and I would laugh because, you know, some of those singers, the male singers, don't come into their voices until they're 35 or 40.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. So it is, the artistry is something that does develop with time. You know, it is tragic that you see these great dancers at the very end of their careers and they kind of finally have the whole package all together and then the tipping point has been reached and they retire.
Right.
Well, the stress that they put on their bodies is enormous, and it's not just dancers, it's professional athletes.
Right.
It's the limitations of the human body, but the mind and the spirit continue to be devoted to those disciplines. And they become supporters and directors and
right.
teachers and choreographers and coaches. And so, you know...
And audiences.
The audiences.
We need audiences that are educated. Right.
Absolutely. And so what I was thinking when you were all talking about this sort of the very narrow funnel that allows for the perfected performer to sort of drop out of the bottom and the rest of the people that are stuck up in there, those are the people who can... spread the word and spread the passion and become very powerful forces for each of these disciplines. They're essential. While we're talking about essential things, we need for everyone to go to their phone, pick it up, or go to their computer, but to go to the phone and dial 428-1393 and help support the arts in every shape, especially on KSFR.
428-1393, 428-1393, and we're just over a quarter of a way to our $1,000 goal for this hour. So
let's get going,
you know,
guys.
Let's get going, guys.
Absolutely.
I think we have a little report from the control room?
Yes, we have some people to thank.
Yay.
Richard Brandt.
Thank you.
Linda Siegel.
Yay.
And Roberto Capocchi, who loves the Radio Cafe.
And who is going to be playing a gig tomorrow night, going to be doing a guitar concert. Yay. And everybody else, keep calling 428-1393, 428-1393. And let's get to our $1,000 goal for this hour. And let's get to our $7,000 goal to finish this fund drive as soon as we can today. Today, we think it's going to be the last day. But we basically have to fundraise until we meet our little operating expenses for this half of the year.
And we can't reach our goal unless every person who is hearing this contributes what they can. It's one of those understood, always present realities that in order for us to be able to provide you with the services and the marvelous programming, we need to be able to pay our bills as well.
That's right.
And if you will help us to pay our bills, we will unflaggingly provide you with the extraordinary programming that you depend on every day, all day long.
428-1393, 428-1393. And the film is called First Position, and it's at the screen tonight at 7 o'clock. And you can make a contribution just for the heck of it and go to the screen anyway. You don't have to win a pair of tickets, but we do have 5 pairs of tickets, and we're hoping that they are all gone within the next 4 or 5 minutes, because that's how long we've got until the hour of 8:30 when we switch over to Diane and Speaking of the Arts. So 428-1393 is the number, and let's reach our $1,000 goal, and let's get all of those 5 pairs of tickets to First Position into your hands, ladies and gentlemen. So when you saw this film, Linda Monick, how did you respond to it?
Oh, I cried. I mean, I have to say, so much work goes into building a dancer. So much work. And one of the teachers talks quite clearly about how with the downturn in the economy, the ballet companies are losing jobs, shedding jobs. They're not hiring dancers. So it becomes very hard for young dancers to get hired into the big companies. And I think anybody who's watching sort of Breaking Point on television, you see how difficult it is to be a working ballet dancer in this economy.
Yeah.
So I found the whole thing very moving and kind of heartbreaking and exhilarating. It's wonderful to see these kids with so much talent and to have the kind of maturity to be on stage for their 2 minutes and not completely fall apart.
Yeah. There's a wonderful young man, a teenage boy who's 16 years old from Colombia,
Joan Sebastian.
Joan Sebastian. Oh, my God. He is such a beautiful dancer. And you see him about to go on stage, and you think, is he going to fall apart? Is he going to be scared? And instead, he goes into, I don't want to say the trance of it, because that's not exactly the right word, but into the complete
zone.
Fullness of expression, the zone.
Oh, it's beautiful. And it's interesting, because he cites as his inspiration Carlos Acosta, who was one of the great, you know, Cuban dancers who was nurtured by the Houston Ballet, who's now one of the principal male dancers at the Royal Ballet. And what you do see is the beginning of the breakdown of racial stereotypes in ballet, which is, I think, really important. So he cites Acosta as his inspiration. I would also add the very great Jose Manuel Carreño, who just retired from American Ballet Theater, another great Cuban dancer, that these young men have had these extraordinary role models over the past 10, 15 years that show male dancers outside of the usual box.
But one of the things that raises, is one of the issues that raises, is that in Cuba, dancers are heroic figures
culture. Absolutely.
And Cuba cultivates and supports and educates and trains dancers, musicians. For them, culture is the center of the universe. It's more important than politics. It's more important.
It's true.
And one of the things that I'm often reminded of is, as much as we value our artists and our performers, we don't fully support them. And if you think about the cost of building a bomber or a drone, and you took one of those drones and simply took those finances and helped to support the arts, to nurture these dancers and these performers.
And what if you took all of those drones?
Oh, well, I want to be slightly realistic, and obviously we're talking about the age of truthiness later in the half hour.
Yes.
But there's a phenomenon that is striking to me. We are a nation with the greatest wealth and the greatest power, and yet we don't value our arts and culture. And when I run the world, we will.
Oh, well, okay. When I give lectures at the Joyce Theater, I often talk about the contemporary European ballet companies that come to New York to perform. It is astonishing. France has 17 choreographic centers, fully funded, with a choreographer, with a company, with a school, with public outreach, with education programs. When I was at NYU, all of the other graduate students who were European, they're the ones who would go with me to the museums, to the opera, to the ballet, to the theater. They grew up with the importance of culture woven into their day-to-day lives. And even here, I mean, I'm sad when I go to the screen and it's not full. For these HD performances that are so beautiful and so fantastic, that theater should be packed. We should all be going. We should. Everyone should be going to see this, because it's important. Art is important. There's a great quote by Jose Limon, the late, great choreographer, who said, "Dance gives us that which nothing else can."
Yeah.
And I think we need to support it in every way we can.
One of the most interesting statements, Robert Kennedy, when he was running for office, said at one point that the gross GDP, the gross domestic product, measures everything but what really matters in life. And I think that we slide by that. We're so worried about our debt and our GDP, and what we need to think about is how to make the world, and certainly our nation, better. And we could do that by supporting the arts and by picking up the phone and dialing 428-1393 and supporting KSFR Public Radio and Radio Cafe and Mary Charlotte DeMonde and Helga and Kona and Stacey Pearl and BBC and Amy Goodman and all the things that make our world better.
And there's one pair of tickets left.
For the screen,
which is
the most marvelous screening room in New Mexico.
Yeah,
what a gift that we have it here.
Yep.
We should be filling it every time there's a film being presented.
428-1393 is the number. Mary Lynn.
Yes, the tickets are gone.
Oh, the tickets are gone. Yay.
Yeah, it's been a steady flow of calls. We have some thanks.
Okay.
Shelley Robinson, who thinks we're just fantastic.
Yay.
Lucy Soma.
Thank you.
Sharon Franco.
Oh, thank you.
Melinda Reed.
Yay.
Victor de Suvero.
Victor de Suvero, yay.
And did I say Melinda? Yeah, I did say Melinda. Okay. There you
good. Thank you.
All.
Thank you. Keep those calls coming. We want to reach $1,000 by the end of this hour. or more. That's just the minimum number. That's where we're setting the bar. We could set it a little higher, but let's go for $1,000 for this hour. 428-1393. Linda Monick, dance historian. Thank you so much for being with us and talking about this wonderful film, First Position.
Thank you. What a pleasure. I hope everybody comes. It's a beautiful, beautiful film.
Indeed. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. And while we are breaking, please call 428-1393. And we are back on the air, 428-1393, KSFR Fun Drive. And Diane Karp, executive director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, is with us speaking of the arts, as she is many weekends. And boy, there's a lot going on tonight. There's the screening at the screen of First Position. There is David Barsamian speaking at the exact same time at the Unitarian Universalist Church.
Absolutely.
And there is, I'm going to get it out in a moment, but there's also a crazy fun thing happening at the Lensic tonight.
Yes, why don't you talk a little bit about
because
that?
I don't have the email open in front of me.
One of the things that's going on at the Lensic tonight is Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang.
Thank you.
It's the PSLR Tour comedians that are talking about politics, sex, and religion at 8 p.m. at the Lensic. It is a weekend that is just chock-a-block full with art and performance, and so we're going to actually get right into it. We're going to start with the art. There's an opening at Gerald Peters Gallery called Armor and Companions, A Close Examination. It's the work of Carol Mothner, who is a Santa Fe artist. Very gifted.
She's a great artist.
She's a great woman. She's a great supporter of the arts. And she's best known for her work as a painter in wax. But this is a movement that has taken her into a world of miniature. And she's made these marvelous small objects, very beautiful, very powerful. And I'm surprised that you're not up to your eyeballs in it, because the central focus is on dogs.
Oh, dogs.
And tiny little crafted.
How did I not know this? Carol, well, why didn't you write to me?
Carol Mothner, check out the Gerald Peters opening. It is definitely worth a look. It opens tonight. All of these things happening around the same time. From 5 to 7 is the reception, but it's on through August 4th. So head over to Gerald Peters.
So you can go to the reception and then go to any one of these other events.
Yes, and another reception that's up on Canyon Road at Link Hands for Humanity is an exhibition, again, a very delicate, very beautiful work called Stitching Our Stories, Restitching Our Lives. They're wall hangings that are woven by a collective in Calcutta. They are very beautiful. The reception is from 5 to 8 tonight, up at 7:13 and a half. Canyon Roads at Link Hands for Humanity, and it will be up through Sunday, July 8th. So another beautiful thing to get yourself over to. Of course, Axel Contemporary has the new exhibition, Santos Contemporaneos, and that's over at the Farmers Market Pavilion, and it'll be up through July 29th. At Thai Gallery over at the Rail Yard is Legacy of Inspiration, some of the most beautiful bamboo sculptures by Shono Shunzai and his students.
And don't forget Steve Lambert at the Santa Fe Art Institute. And we had him on the 4th of July, which probably some people were eating pancakes or whatever. You might not have heard it. But Steve Lambert has a sign, which is right by the Santa Fe Art Institute. It's in front of Tipton Hall.
It's actually in front of Tipton Hall. And it's called Capitalism Works for Me.
True or false?
Right. It's not pro, it's not con. It's the ability for all of the citizens of Santa Fe and all of the visitors to get over there. It's a very beautifully crafted, large sign, 20 feet by 13 feet, out on the campus, and you get to go and register your vote.
Right.
And then Steve will tally them, and we'll be able to have a sense in each city at each moment in time how people are feeling about capitalism. And I think to everyone's surprise, it's not leaned in one direction or the other. Most frequently, it seems to come out pretty even.
Very interesting.
The idea, however, is to just make people think. And that'll be up through July 27th on campus. So get yourself over. Steve Lambert's a great artist. There's also an exhibition inside the Art Institute of the work of Amy Franceschini. who is a marvelous interventionist artist who works with farms and plants and the idea of revitalizing cities and remediating soil in order to take empty lots and recreate them into functioning organic farms.
4281393, looking for our $1,000 goal for this hour. 428, I'm giving time for people to pick up their pencils and write it down. So, okay, now strolling over to the kitchen counter where that pencil is. Okay, now the piece of paper, which is somewhere. Okay, got it. 4281393. Okay, got that. Now go call it and make a contribution to KSFR. Tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 to noon, Collected Works Bookstore will be having a booth at the Santa Fe Farmers Market with a signing by Bill and Cheryl Jameson, authors of Tasting New Mexico, Recipes Celebrating 100 Years of Distinctive Home Cooking. And the publisher of New Mexico Magazine will be there too, handing out copies of the magazine. And also at Collected Works Bookstore, at the actual store, at 10 o'clock, the Santa Fe Opera Spotlight Series presents conductor and Santa Fe lecturer Oliver Prezant, who will be presenting an accessible, in-depth exploration of music and text in Szymanowski's King Roger, one of the remarkable operas going up in the Santa Fe Opera. Then on Sunday, July 8th, at 10 in the morning, Journey Santa Fe presents photographers Tanya Vasallo and Ben Middleman and their book A6 Sin Prisas, Highway A6 with no, not in a hurry. And it's a book of photographs of a major highway in Spain that goes from Madrid to Galicia and all everything that's happening there. That's a Collected Works. And then on Sunday from 3 to 5, singer-songwriter Lori Fiorentino will be there, as she often is. And Monday, the Santa Fe Opera Spotlight Series continues with another free and informative lecture by Oliver Prezant talking about Arabella. And Tuesday, Margaret Wood will be at the bookstore signing copies of her new book, Remembering Miss O'Keefe, Stories of Abiquiu. And in 1977, Margaret Wood was 24 years old, and somehow she came to northern New Mexico and was a caretaker for Georgia O'Keefe, and so is writing her memories about that. So all of this and so much more. Collected Works Bookstore, man, that's a great place.
And Dorothy Massey and Mary, her daughter, have really put Collected Works in the heights of independent bookstores. And for those of you who don't know, Santa Fe is a remarkably well-cultured city. But the fact that we have these independent bookstores, we need to support them. They support us. They support all the arts. Collected Works is a great coffee shop. They have great pastries. And they present not only the books, but the people who write the books. So
it's kind of like supporting your public radio station.
It is kind of like supporting your public radio station. On Saturday, we have lots of things going on. We have the ongoing and sort of final points of the Currents 2012, the Santa Fe
yes.
International New Media Festival. And on Saturday, they have an outdoor vision fest. It's a group show of so many of the works that are over there at El Museo Cultural. And that's at the rail yard next to the farmers market. And also, Saturday evening, they have the electronic group Noisefold. That's David Stout and Corey Metcalf, two absolutely brilliant, gifted acoustic musicians.
And the cellist.
I'm getting there. Okay. And cellist Frances Marie Uti from Mindscapes. And they're going to be performing at El Museo Cultural on Saturday night at 7:30 p.m., worth going over and checking out. The other thing that you want to do at 8 p.m. is go to Gig Performance Space to hear Roberto Capocchi, thank you very much, who is a gifted guitarist.
Classical guitar, Spanish, Brazilian.
Yes, and the sound of the guitar is like the sound of the human heart. It really is one of the most beautiful performances, and Roberto is a gift to Santa Fe. So come and support him over there at Gig Performance Space. Also going on is a panel discussion, part of Currents 2012, which is a discussion by members of the Media Literacy Project's Girl Tech Program. That's from 2 to 2:30 at Lucky Bean Cafe, which is over there at Sambusco. And they're talking about girls and technology, a very important topic, because acoustic music and electronic media also mean you've got to understand the technology.
That's right. That is so true. Now, I got a little message from the station saying the phones are resting.
Resting?
Resting.
Don't rest.
Rest is very bad.
Stop listening to us. Run to the phone. We'll give you a chance.
Yes.
For those of us who are mathematically challenged, it's 428. 4 times 2 is 8.
Ugh.
1393.
Don't do the math on
428. 1393.
428-1393 is the number, and please give us a call. We must make our $1,000 goal for this hour, and apparently I'm now told that we have only about $3,000 to go to end the fund drive, so let's do it. Let's get it done.
On Saturday is the beginning for the public of Site Santa Fe's amazing exhibition called More Real: Art in the Age of Truthiness.
I saw
and
that yesterday.
This is it's going to be a huge exhibition. It's very exciting. It's an exhibition that is curated by the Minneapolis Institute of Arts curator of contemporary art, Elizabeth Armstrong, who is one wunderkind of her own. And the exhibition is going to open actually Friday night, tonight, for the members and VIPs. But on Saturday, curator Elizabeth Armstrong and participating artists in the exhibition are going to do a panel discussion from 2 to 3:30 at the James A. Little Theater. And I recommend it to everyone. Get over there and get to hear how curators and artists think about the creative world. And the public opening for Art in the Age of Truthiness, More Real, is going to be on Sunday. So from noon to 5, it's free at Site Santa Fe. I recommend that you guys get over there for as many different aspects of this marvelous weekend of art as you possibly can.
428-1393 is the number. A little quiet today. Not good, but you know, we understand if it's Friday morning and you're trying to get all sorts of things done, but please, if you want this show to go on, and having a radio station with so much locally produced content on it is no joke, it does require listener contribution, give a call today, support the Radio Cafe, support KSFR, 428-1393. And I have to say, there is a workshop put on by the Rail Yard Stewards called All About Lavender. Elizabeth Inman of the Purple Adobe Lavender Farm is going to be giving a workshop on Tuesday, July 10th from 9 to 10:30 in the morning at the Rail Yard Park Community Room. For more information, railyardpark.org.
Upcoming soon will be the International Folk Art Market, but the Museum of International Folk Art on Sunday is opening an exhibition called The Art of the Gamin, and their works created by Japanese Americans in internment camps during World War II. The reception is from 1 to 4. The show will be up through October 7th. I recommend it highly. While you're up there, the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture up on Museum Hill has an exhibition that they are opening with a discussion led by Terry DeWald about the basket weavers. And it's about woven identities, basketry art from the collections. 2 to 4 will be this conversation and discussion with Terry DeWald up on Museum Hill.
And here's the KSFR announcement. This Saturday morning, tomorrow, right here on KSFR Camp Love Wave, you can tune into Taryn Love Wave's 45-minute conversation with the former two-term governor of New Mexico and Libertarian Party candidate for president, Gary Johnson. So that's tomorrow on Camp Love Wave.
Ray Marie Taylor, the author, is going to be reading from her environmental memoir, The Land, Our Gift and Wild Hope, which will be followed by a conversation with the author and river activist A. Kais Bello. And that's on Sunday from at 2 o'clock at Opsit Books, which is over there on Baca Street.
I love that place.
I do too. And, you know, I think the idea of these independent bookstores is a way of demonstrating to the world how open-minded and supportive and engaged the residents of Santa Fe are. And all of those open-minded, engaged residents have to demonstrate the fact that they value public radio. Unembedded, non-commercial, open-minded, and free-thinking. This is a station that not only presents the arts to the community, but lets the artists and the arts organizations come on to the radio and talk about who they are and what they do. Get to know the people that make your city so marvelous. Listen to KSFR. Support KSFR. 428-1393.
And I'm going to spare our audience now by not singing Joni Mitchell's song, Don't It Always Seem to Go, that you don't know what you got till it's gone. But, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, if we're going to quote music, you don't always get what you want, but you get what you need.
Yeah, well.
And what you need is to go to the phones and support the radio station that supports you. 428-1393.
And the opera is offering discounted tickets for first-time New Mexico ticket buyers. So if you've never been to the opera, you've never bought a ticket to the opera, you can get this, 40% off, 40% discount to any performance.
And that tickets are left for. But the season is remarkable.
Yeah.
And everyone needs to take the opportunity to go and see the opera. Opera's total theater. It's dance, it's spoken word, it's poetry,
yeah,
it's music, it's voice,
it's theater.
It is over-the-top beautiful. The opera itself is a fabulous place. We are so lucky to have one of the world-class summer operas right here in Santa Fe, and everyone needs to participate.
428-1393. We had a little flurry of calls. I think we're up to over $600, but we haven't met our $1,000 goal yet.
And we have to, otherwise they'll fire me. Monday, the 9th of July, the Santa Fe Folk Art Market artists are doing hands-on demonstrations and workshops from 1 to 4 p.m. It's open to all ages. It's free. Go up to Museum Hill and connect with some of the artisans that come from all over the world.
And the 2012 Santa Fe Wine Festival at El Rancho de las Golondrinas is this Saturday and Sunday, the 7th and 8th, from noon to 6. And so there's lots of wine and everything else. And a friend of mine who is an artist, Tina Davila, is going to be there showing her pottery and lots of other art and good kinds of things. So 986-9856 for more information.
Remember, the bandstand is up and running, and you can go over to the plaza and hear both local and invited artists from out of town who will be performing all summer long. So take advantage of that. Juan Cidi is up at the lodge performing extraordinary flamenco almost every night.
Those guys are so great.
Enriching aspect of Santa Fe's cultural community. There's an amazing book and an evening with Gail Lemon, the journalist and author who's going to be in conversation with Gene Grant, New Mexico's own In Focus host, 7 p.m. It's presented by the Santa Fe Folk Art Market, and it's at the Lensic on Wednesday night. Another way to sort of get into the international folksiness of the International Folk Art Market.
And don't forget David Geist Cabaret at Pronzo. He is there tonight with Robin Holloway, tomorrow with Julie Trujillo, and Sundays he will be there as well. Sundays are, I'm not sure what time, but you can check it out at davidgeist.com or pronzosantafe.com.
The next big arts event after Site Santa Fe's fabulous programming. And one of the things that I want to mention about Site Santa Fe is, you know, it was an old liquor warehouse originally.
Is that right?
Yes, over in the rail yard. And they've transformed it. But one of the things that is so remarkable
but
is
it
when
still has spirits.
It does. It has such strong spirits, creative spirits. They bring in architects. And for Art in the Age of Truthiness, for More Real, they have brought in an absolutely marvelous architect who has totally transformed the interior of the space and added to the exterior. So if you're not particularly interested in art, you will be at the end. But if architecture interests you, go over and see what they have managed to do in terms of recreating the interior space of Site Santa Fe. next weekend.
It's so transformed. Every time there's a new show in there and you go in, it's like a whole new space.
Absolutely.
I can't even keep it straight in my head.
Well, that's the idea. You're not supposed to keep it straight in your head. On Thursday night, we begin the events around Art Santa Fe, which is the annual art fair that takes place here in Santa Fe over at the convention center. And on Thursday night, it's the Vernissage, which is their gala opening. But the Art Santa Fe 2012 will run all weekend long. So it's open all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. I invite all of you to go over. It brings in gallerists and artists from all over the world. And it is a place where the local galleries and those international galleries connect. So for art collectors, it's a great place to be.
428-1393. I think we're getting there, but we have not yet gotten to our $1,000 goal, which I'm going to take it a little bit personally. If people can't even come in and help us make a $1,000 goal during this show, I just don't know. Mary Lynn, is she there? Oh, I thought I heard Mary Lynn on the microphone. 428-1393. Let's get it in the next 5 minutes. I know we can do it, so let's try to reach our goal. Let's reach our goal. And the beautiful, kind, wonderful, brilliant Rob DeWalt I ran into yesterday at Site Santa Fe, and he said, hey, you want to offer lunch? So, ladies and gentlemen, for $100, if you would like to have lunch with me and Rob DeWalt at the Zia, you may make a contribution. So that's just another thing that you can put in the mix. 428-1393. What else?
On Thursday night, the infamous String Dusters, the Nashville-based Newgrass Bluegrass Sextet, is performing at Santa Fe Soul.
And can I just say that they're really, really good?
They are really, really good. Absolutely. And definitely worth checking out. The Arden Shakespeare Festival will be presenting Taming of the Shrew.
Yay.
At 8 p.m. on Thursday. And I want to recommend it to everybody. But also, the Santa Fe Playhouse is this absolutely marvelous little tiny theater in the midst of downtown Santa Fe. And it's well used by the Arden Shakespeare Festival. You feel as though you could reach out and touch the performers, which really brings Shakespeare back into the relationship to the audience that it was created for. It was not meant for a big stage where you were miles away. They wanted you to actually feel as though you could reach out and touch the performers, and you could just about do that at the Santa Fe Playhouse.
And those guys are really good. I've seen many of the actors in The Taming of the Shrew, and they are, it's not one of those things where you think, oh, community theater, I guess I'll go and support them. I mean, you will have fun.
Yes, you will, and it's very true to the spirit of Shakespeare. And the other thing that I wanted to mention on Thursday of this week is the Santa Fe Folk Art Market's community celebration. It's where the folk art market really starts, and they're going to invite all of the community to welcome the artists and enjoy the music of the Ghanaian ensemble African Showboys, who are unbelievably talented. And there's the Tuban throat singer Aldan Tamdin, and Malaysian lute players, and all kinds of other performers from 5 to 9. It is free. It's at the Rail Yard Plaza. It's a festival of international folk art.
And Tuesday, July 10th at 7 o'clock at the Screen, the film From Zimbabwe to Santa Fe,
yes,
which I will be doing an interview about. This is going to be, I've got to look, Monday or Tuesday of next week. But it's a documentary about these wonderful basket weavers in Zimbabwe and their odyssey.
We screened it last year at the Art Institute. And the director is a marvelous young woman. It's so insightful to see the complexity of what it takes to actually get to the international folk art market here in Santa Fe. So it takes the kind of diligence and hard work and complexity of dealing with computer and internet applications.
Oh, Lord.
It gives you a sense of what is involved.
Right.
And it's a wonderful film. I recommend it highly. Remember, the Santa Fe Bandstand Concert Series on Thursday will have Third Ear Caravan, Rock and Roll at 6 p.m., and Hillary Smith and Soul Kitchen, which is just over-the-top blues at 7:15.
We have not yet made it to our $1,000 goal, and I'm sad because there's only 2 minutes left in the program today, but maybe in the next 2 minutes we can do it. 428-1393. We're something like three quarters of the way there, and maybe we've got a few thank yous to go, but oh, we're almost there. Oh, my goodness. We have $115 left. Can two people please call and make that up? 428-1393. Mary Lynn.
A bunch of thanks. Marnie Johnson.
Okay, thank you.
Richard and Lydia Jennings.
Yay.
Karen Stockdale.
Thank you.
Tony.
Yay.
Janine McGill.
Wonderful. Jeannie.
Jeannie. Cy Husbosky.
Thank you.
And Sarah Potter. Okay. Oh, and Susan Harris again.
Oh, yay. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you. I think we can do it now. We've got $115 left. We can totally do that in the next minute and a half.
Absolutely. And
we're going to give you till the end of the news, by the way.
Oh, marvelous.
Yes.
I think that's fair. All of you who count on Mary Charlotte every morning to bring ideas and brilliance into your lives first thing in the morning, waking up, opening your eyes, and hearing her voice, allowing us to have access to a much wider world of ideas than we would ever have in our own ordinary days, is worth more than $115. So just solve the problem. Pick up the phone. Give us 5, give us 10, give us 15.
Give us 115.
Give us 115, and let's end this hour on a successful note.
Yeah, if you do $10 a month,
428.
That's 120, that's it.
428-1393.